You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
This morning our scripture comes from the book of John. If you want to turn there with me, book of John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and I'm going to start in verse 19. John 20, starting in verse 19. This is the day of the resurrection. Jesus has risen from the grave. And it says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning and pray that you would speak to us afresh through your Spirit, through your working in our lives, that we might know you, that we might see you this morning, that our lives might be changed because of your Spirit's work in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the first thing most of us do when we leave the house in the morning or we come back home? Oftentimes, the first thing we do when we come back inside the house, or maybe it's the first thing that we do when we get out of the car before we shut the door, or even sometimes right when we get in the car, as soon as we do shut the door, we lock the door behind us, right? A lot of us. Some of us are like, "No, I don't ever lock the door." Well, you live way out in the country. So if you've ever lived in a city, you know, you lock the door behind you, right? And why do we do this? We do it to protect our stuff, to keep us safe, to keep people away from our property, to keep people out of, our personal space. If you've ever lived in a big city, you may have been in one of those apartments that has, like multiple locks down the door, So you come in and it's not just one lock, it's like, click, 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 chain, hook, big thing, put your chair up against the door, We do this because there are people that aren't supposed to get into our space. People that aren't supposed to get in. We keep it locked so that, what is supposed to stay private stays private, right? What stays behind the doors is personal. It's safe. And it says on the evening of that first day, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Why lock the doors? Were they fearful that the people that killed Jesus were going to come after them too? Maybe. Were they afraid that they would be recognized as Peter had been recognized when he denied Jesus three times? Could be. Were they afraid of being sold out or betrayed by one of their friends? Maybe so. Maybe so. But maybe it was more than this. Maybe this was a fear in the disciples that ran deeper than this. Maybe it was the fear of what others were going to say, that this group of disciples had essentially failed, that their leader was dead, that the kingdom had not come, that the king was not on the throne, that this was not the way that the Messiah was supposed to have been promised, that these disciples couldn't even keep their leaders safe. Maybe it was deeper than just the fear of what others might do to them. Maybe, in fact, it was shame for the disciples. And many of us have been there too, right? We've been huddled with the disciples behind closed doors. We said we were just trying to keep ourselves safe and just to protect ourselves, right? To keep ourselves from getting hurt. But there we hide behind the locked door of fear. The fear of being rejected by someone else. The fear of being hurt. The fear of loneliness. The fear of losing the things that are most precious to us, the fear of economic insecurity, the fear of not measuring up, the fear of failing, the fear of death, of terminal illness, the fear of something happening to those that we love the most. Sometimes we're there and we hide behind not just the locked doors of fear, but those locked doors of shame. The shame of old failures. The shame of guilt. The shame of not having my life together. The shame of feeling like a hypocrite. The shame of our addictions. The shame of marriages and families that just seem to be pulling apart at the seams. The shame of sin. We hide there. And Craig Barnes is pastor in Washington, D.C., and he said, nothing is more crippling to our souls than working at hiding our shame. We lock up more and more doors, sealing off more and more rooms of our heart to prevent our true selves from being discovered. We think we are keeping the world out, but in fact, we are keeping ourselves locked in. See, we've been there with the disciples behind those locked doors. And into that locked room, with the doors shut and everything sealed off, Jesus enters and he appears to them and he says, Shalom. Peace be with you. But shalom is about so much more than just the absence of conflict. He's not saying may there be no conflict. He's saying may there be completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, shalom. The shalom is the promise of God that all the people of the Israelites were looking for. It's the same thing we're all looking for, a time when everything that's messed up in the world is put right. It's put the way God intended it to be. Jesus comes to them and says, Shalom. He comes to his disciples and he gives himself to them. He reveals his love for each one of them. He does not criticize them for their fears. He does not criticize them for their moments of infidelity. He does not make any critical remarks to Peter who had denied him. He does not make anyone feel guilty. Jesus comes in and he confirms to them, you are my beloved ones, and I am here for you. Shalom, Jesus says to his followers. And shalom, Jesus says to us today. As the Father has sent me, Jesus says, so I send you. This is Jesus who stepped from eternity, stepped from his throne, who came down among us and said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the true vine. This Jesus, the Word who became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, it's this Jesus who says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Your place is not behind locked doors. Your place is not cowering in the corner in fear and shame. Your place is not hiding your lamp under a bushel. You have been sent, Jesus says. You have been sent. But you haven't been sent alone. Scripture says when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. It's the book of Genesis all over again. Because in the book of Genesis, we read in chapter 2, it says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. It says he formed him from the dust of the ground, and then he leaned down and he breathed into the dust. He breathed into the man's nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. The word in Greek for spirit is the word pneuma. And the word means the same thing as wind or breath. So in essence, the scripture says, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the breath. Not just any breath. He said, receive my breath. Let my life fill you. He said, essentially, may you come to life for the first time. He said, essentially, may my breath, my very life, animate you. May my breath, my very life, cross your lips in words of love, of forgiveness, of peace, of shalom. He said, may my breath, my very life, release you from the prison walls of shame and fear, and may it set you loose in the world. Set loose to do what? We ask. To forgive as we have been forgiven. To proclaim freedom to the captives. To declare the year of the Lord's favor. Christ has walked through the closed doors of our prison cell even today. And for some of us, it's a prison cell that we chose because of our own decisions. For some of us, it's a prison cell that we have been placed in against our will. But the call is still the same. You are my beloved. Shalom. My blessing is on you. You are forgiven and restored. Don't hide in fear. Don't hide in shame. Don't close off the rest of the world. Receive the breath of life. Receive the Holy Spirit and then go. Forgive and proclaim the forgiveness that comes through the risen Christ alone. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. O God of peace, God of forgiveness, God of comfort, by your very breath you have given us our earthly lives. By the breath of your Spirit you have given us eternal life. This morning we ask that you would enter into our hearts as you entered into that room where the disciples gathered. We pray that you would pass through the locked doors that we have set up to keep others out. The locked doors that we have set up to keep our hearts safe. We pray this morning that you would speak to us words that would comfort our fears. We pray this morning, Lord, that your forgiveness would flow like cooling water upon the burning flame of our shame. We pray that you would restore us this morning, that you would call us out, that you would remind us that we were not created to hide behind closed doors, but that we were sent by you to forgive as we have been forgiven. To proclaim your forgiveness to a world that is groping in sin and darkness. Help us to go out boldly in the power of the one who goes before us. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior.